This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. Let's start 2026 with a hard truth. There's no perfect time to build the future you secretly dream of, and there's no time to waste. With support from a Talkspace therapist, you can make this the year you bravely go out and grab what you need from life, whether that's outer rewards or inner peace. Just go to Talkspace.com to be matched with a licensed online therapist. You can start messaging with your therapist right away and schedule live virtual sessions over video, audio, or chat. Your Talkspace therapist can help you create personalized strategies for making the changes and achieving the goals most important to you. Talkspace accepts most insurance with an average copay of $15, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com and save $80 with code SPACE80. That's SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Therapy in the Soft Life. I'm your host Asia, and as always, thank you for being here. If this is your first time listening, I'm so glad you found your way here. This space is about healing gently, moving with intention, and learning what it really means to build a life rooted in peace, self-awareness, and emotional freedom. So whether you're on your commute, sitting with a cup of coffee, winding down for the night, or just trying to find a little breathing room between everything else you have going on, just know that I'm happy you're here. So today's episode is called Redefining Confidence. And I'll be honest, this one feels close to home because confidence has been one of those lessons I keep circling back to. Every new season of my life seems to ask me to redefine it all over again. And for the longest time, I thought confidence had a look, a posture, a tone of voice, a certain rhythm in how you walk into a room. When people said she's confident, I imagined someone bold, unbothered, polished, the kind of person who never second-guessed herself. And growing up, that was the image that was praised. The person with the loud laugh, the quick comeback, the person who always had the perfect answer. So I did what a lot of us do. I tried to be that. I mastered the art of appearing fine and of sounding sure even when I wasn't, of staying busy enough that no one could mistake my silence for uncertainty. And on paper, it worked. People would tell me, "You're so confident, you always seem to know what you're doing." And every time I heard it, I would smile, but inside, I would feel this tiny sting because I knew it wasn't confidence, it was control. And if I could keep everything perfectly together, maybe I would finally feel confident. But control and confidence are not the same thing. Control says, if I manage every variable, nothing can hurt me. And confidence says, even if everything falls apart, I'll still be okay. And that difference changed my whole perspective. I can remember one moment so vividly. I was sitting in my car before a big meeting at my internship, and I had rehearsed everything I wanted to say, triple-checked my notes, and still I could feel my heart racing. I kept thinking, don't let them see you nervous. But the truth was, I was nervous. I cared. I wanted to do well. And then something clicked. Why was I spending so much energy pretending I wasn't human? Real confidence doesn't hide your humanity. It makes room for it. And that meeting went fine, actually better than fine. But what stayed with me wasn't how I performed. It was the permission I gave myself to show up honestly. And that's where I started realizing how deeply we confuse confidence with perfection. We assume the people who look most put together feel the most secure, when in reality, some of them are just the most practiced at hiding their fear. If you've ever felt like you're not confident enough because you hesitate before speaking, or because you replay conversations later, or because your voice shakes when you care about something, that's not a lack of confidence. That's evidence that you feel. And feeling is not weakness. We live in a world that rewards performance. We're taught to curate every part of ourselves, our image, our tone, our emotions, until confidence becomes another costume. But costumes are heavy. They look good under the lights, but they don't breathe well. And what I realized is, I don't want my confidence to be something I wear. I want it to be something I live in. There's a kind of confidence that whispers instead of shouts. It's not about commanding attention, it's about carrying peace. It's the way you can walk into a space and not feel the need to fill it. It's the freedom to say, I don't have all the answers, but I trust myself to find them. That's the energy I've been chasing lately. Not the spotlight, just alignment. Because when you're aligned, you stop chasing validation. You stop begging people to see you a certain way. You realize your confidence was never supposed to be loud. It was supposed to be anchored. When I started peeling back all the layers of what I thought confidence meant, I found fear underneath almost every one. Fear of being misunderstood. Fear of not being liked. Fear of not being enough. And the thing about fear is, it doesn't always show up as trembling or panic. Sometimes it shows up as us over-preparing, as perfectionism, as needing to be the best. That's why I say overconfidence is sometimes just insecurity with makeup on. It looks polished, but underneath it's fragile. And if that's you right now, that is okay. There's no shame in realizing that the version of confidence you built was meant to protect you. It served a purpose. It helped you survive spaces that didn't make room for your softness. But survival confidence isn't the same as sustainable confidence. One keeps you performing and the other lets you rest. And maybe that's the shift a lot of us are ready for, to stop performing and start belonging to ourselves again. When I think about confidence now, I don't picture a stage or an audience. I picture a quiet morning where I can breathe without rushing. I picture saying no without guilt. I picture walking away from something that used to define me and being okay with the space it leaves behind. Confidence at its core is peace. It's self-trust dressed in gentleness. It's knowing that your value doesn't rise or fall with other people's approval. The loud kind might get more attention, but the quiet kind lasts longer because it's rooted in truth, not performance. And I think about younger me a lot, the version who believed that being confident meant being invincible. If I could talk to her now, I would tell her, confidence isn't about never doubting yourself. It's about learning to keep moving even when you do. I would tell her that sensitivity wasn't a flaw, that the way she overanalyzed wasn't a bad thing. It meant she cared. I would tell her that confidence doesn't erase tenderness. It protects it. Because confidence and softness are not opposites. They can coexist beautifully. Sometimes I still catch myself trying to prove I belong. Sometimes I still over-explain or downplay something I'm proud of. But now I notice it. And noticing is the first step towards redefining. Confidence isn't a permanent state. It's a practice. It's something you choose over and over, especially on the days when you don't feel it naturally. The goal isn't to be confident all the time. The goal is to trust yourself enough to keep showing up even when you're not. And that's where this next layer begins. Learning to rebuild that trust piece by piece. When I started thinking about how confidence shows up in our everyday lives, I realized how easily we link it to comparison. Almost every time we doubt ourselves, there's someone we measure against in our own minds. It might be a friend, a coworker, somebody online who always seems 5 steps ahead. I used to scroll and think, she just has something I don't. The way she dresses, the way she speaks, the way people respond to her. It all looked effortless. But the truth is, confidence that's built on comparison is never sustainable. It will always depend on someone else staying beneath you for you to feel enough. And that's not confidence. That's competition disguised as self-improvement. I remember one season when I was constantly doubting my progress. I would be in classes with people who seemed to absorb everything faster than I did. I would hear them speak with authority and think, why don't I sound like that? And the more I compared, the smaller I felt, even when I was doing well. That's the dangerous part about comparison. It makes you miss your own evidence. You can be growing, healing, thriving, but if you're measuring it against someone else's path, you'll convince yourself you're behind. And confidence asks you to stay grounded in your lane, not because other people's paths don't matter, but because their timeline has nothing to do with your worth. One of the softest lessons I've learned is that you can celebrate someone else's shine without dimming your own. You can admire without competing. You can clap for them and still trust that your moment will come. And that mindset, that shift from comparison to compassion, is what the soft life is all about. It's not passive, it's peaceful. It's deciding to be inspired instead of intimidated. When I started moving that way, my confidence stopped feeling conditional. It wasn't, if they like me, then I'm worthy. It became, I'm worthy whether or not they notice. I think we underestimate how powerful consistency is because the internet has taught us to value visibility over alignment. If people can't see it, we question even if it counts. But the most confident version of you isn't the one everyone sees. It's the one you build when no one's clapping. It's the version who keeps promises to herself quietly, who takes the walk even when no one's posting about discipline, who chooses rest even when hustle culture screams louder. That's where confidence grows, in private, ordinary moments that never make it online. And I'll be honest, I've had to redefine what success means so many times, because success without peace doesn't feel like confidence. It feels like pressure. It's that tension between, I should be grateful, and why do I still feel anxious? Confidence without the soft life means you stop performing peace and start protecting it. You learn that being centered is more valuable than being admired. And that takes unlearning. Unlearning that your worth is tied to productivity. Unlearning that being humble means downplaying yourself. Unlearning that love and validation have to be earned through perfection. Once you start shedding all of that, confidence becomes less about how you're seen and more about how you treat yourself. There is a time when I would walk into rooms and scan them instantly, not for exits, but for acceptance. I would read people's energy to figure out who I needed to be. It's a survival skill that a lot of us, especially women and especially women of color, develop early. We learn to adapt to stay safe, to stay light, to stay employed, to stay included. But adaptability without authenticity turns into self-abandonment. And you can't build confidence on top of abandonment. Now, when I enter a space, I remind myself, you don't have to shrink or stretch here. You can just be. Sometimes I even whisper it in my head. Just be. Be where your feet are. That's a saying that I used to say frequently, and it grounds me in my own energy before I start absorbing everyone else's. And I think that's what people mean when they talk about soft confidence. It's not shy and it's not passive. It's the type that lets you fully be present without losing yourself. It's not about dominating a room. It's about not disappearing in one. And that's powerful because when you carry that energy, you stop asking, do they like me? And start asking, do I like how I showed up? And that question has changed my relationship with confidence more than anything else because it moves the focus from the outcome to integrity, from how things are received to how they're aligned. And sometimes confidence is saying the thing you've been afraid to say. Not because you're ready for the reaction, but because you're finally ready to be honest. Sometimes confidence is walking away from someone you still love. Sometimes it's showing up with shaky hands and a racing heart and doing it anyway. For example, I don't ever record podcast episodes with videos, but here I am recording with a video and I'm making it do what it do. And sometimes Confidence is brushing your hair, making your bed, sending the email you've been avoiding, showing up to therapy, forgiving yourself for yesterday. Those small moments count too. They are the foundation. And you know that feeling when you're trying something new and suddenly that voice in your head starts talking? The one that says, "Who do you think you are?" It's amazing how that one sentence can shrink an entire dream. I've heard it more times than I can count, especially when I started stepping into spaces that required me to own my voice. For a while, I fought the voice. I tried to silence it, argue with it, prove it wrong. But the truth is, that voice doesn't go away through resistance. It quiets down through compassion. Now, when it shows up, I just tell it, "I hear you, but we're doing this anyway." That's self-trust. That's confidence. Confidence and fear don't cancel each other out. They coexist. Every confident person you admire has felt fear. They've just learned how to keep moving through it. It's not fearlessness that separates them, it's faith. Faith that if it doesn't go perfectly, they'll still be enough. That's the soft life in action, doing it scared but softly. No pressure, no performance, just presence. And one of my favorite things about growing older is how my definition of beauty has evolved, along with my definition of confidence. When I was younger, beauty felt external. So that's outfits, hair, nails, presentation. But now, beauty is the energy. It's peace. It's joy. It's the ability to walk into a space and not feel the need to prove anything. Because when you're comfortable with yourself, everything else follows. That's why confidence glows differently. It's not coming from the surface, it's radiating from within. And honestly, people can feel that energy before you even speak. If you're in a season where confidence feels low, I want you to know that doesn't mean you've lost. It's still there. It just might be resting. Confidence grows and flows with our circumstances. Some days it's loud, other days it whispers, but it never fully disappears. Sometimes life just asks you to rebuild your trust in yourself before the glow returns, and rebuilding takes time. That's what we will talk about next, how to come to yourself when self-trust feels shaky, and how to start believing in your own voice again. Because true confidence doesn't start with being sure of the world. It starts with being sure that no matter what happens, you'll keep showing up for you. Confidence and self-trust are twins. You can't have one without the other. And if you ever wondered why confidence disappears the second someone questions you, it's usually because your trust in yourself is still fragile. Rebuilding that trust is quiet work. It doesn't come from the highlight reel. It comes from the in-between moments when no one's watching. I think a lot of us forget how many small betrayals we live through every week. We say yes when our body is screaming no. We promise ourselves that we'll rest and then push through exhaustion anyway. We tell people it's fine when it's not. And every time we do that, we teach our nervous system that our word can't be counted on. Confidence can't live where self-abandonment is a habit. That was a hard truth for me to sit with. Because for years, I thought being dependable meant ignoring my limits. I thought saying yes was kindness. I thought putting myself last was noble. But confidence grows when kindness includes you too. I remember when I was constantly overcommitting, school, internship, family, friends, everyone around me saw someone reliable, but inside I was running on fumes. And one night I came home, sat in the car, and cried. Not because anything terrible had happened, but because I didn't know how to say I can't keep doing this. And that was the moment I realized the version of me who overgives is just trying to earn safety. If people are pleased, I'm protected. If I disappoint them, I'm exposed. But the cost of that bargain was my peace. And peace is too expensive to keep trading for approval. Rebuilding self-trust starts when you stop making promises that only future you has to pay for. If you say yes, mean it. If you can't, then don't. And when you mess up, because you will, forgive yourself quickly and adjust. You don't rebuild trust by being perfect. You rebuild it by being honest. When I started practicing that, I realized how many of my habits came from fear of being judged. I'd over-explain boundaries to make them sound reasonable. I'd soften my no with a dozen apologies. I would minimize my needs so no one could call me too much. But every apology that isn't needs chips away at your self-respect. And self-respect is the soil confidence grows in. Now, I can practice saying things simply. I can't make it. I'm not available. I don't agree. No explanation, no panic, no guilt spirals afterwards. It felt uncomfortable at first, almost rebellious actually, but over time it felt like relief. And that's what healthy confidence looks like, relief. You rebuild trust by proving to yourself in small ways that you'll protect your own peace. It doesn't require a dramatic transformation, it requires repetition. Drink the water you promised you'd drink. Turn off your phone when you say you rest. Keep one boundary even if it disappoints someone. Every kept promise is a vote for self-trust, and every time you follow through, you're teaching your brain, we keep our word now. Something beautiful happens when you keep your word to yourself. Your inner voice changes tone. It stops sounding like a critic and starts sounding like a coach. It starts saying, we've got this, instead of, you'll never get it right. And that shift doesn't happen overnight. For me, it took a lot of patience and therapy, honestly, to unlearn the shame I carried for not getting everything right the first time. But once I stopped punishing myself for being human, confidence started coming back naturally. Because shame can't coexist with confidence. One will always suffocate the other. And forgiveness is a quiet confidence builder. We usually talk about forgiving others, but self-forgiveness is its own kind of courage. It's saying, I release myself from the version of me who didn't know better. And there's an image I come back to often. Imagine your younger self standing in front of you. Would you look at her and list everything she did wrong? Or would you hug her and say you're doing your best with what you had? Confidence is choosing the second response over and over and over again. Sometimes I ask clients, if you trusted yourself completely, what would you do differently? And their answers are always small but profound. They would say something along the lines of, I would rest more. I would stop apologizing. I would finally apply for that job. Or I would leave. And self-trust doesn't make you impulsive. It makes you honest. It helps you distinguish between fear that protects you and fear that limits you. The more you practice trusting yourself, the less you need external reassurance. And the less you depend on reassurance, the freer you'll feel. That freedom is what confidence is supposed to feel like. There's another piece to this too. Repairing trust with your body. Because confidence isn't just mental, it's somatic. If your body has been through trauma or constant stress, it might not believe you're safe yet, even if your mind does. And for me, that looked like flinching at rest. The moment things slowed down, my brain went, something's wrong, get busy. It took grounding exercises, journaling, long walks, and yes, a lot of therapy to remind my body that peace isn't danger, it's safety. Confidence is when your body and your mind finally agree that you're being safe by yourself. There's a gentle kind of power in being able to sit in uncertainty without spiraling. I used to think confidence meant always knowing what to do next. Now I see it as being okay when I don't. It's like driving at night. You only see as far as your headlights reach, but that's still enough to get you home. And that image helps me when I start to panic about not knowing the whole plan. You don't need to see the whole road to trust the direction. If you're in a season of rebuilding, I want you to know that confidence won't come back as a rush of energy. It'll come back as calm. One morning, you'll wake up and realize you didn't second-guess that email. You spoke up in a meeting without rehearsing. You said no without guilt. And it'll hit you like, I trust myself again. And that's how it happens, quietly and then all at once. When you rebuild self-trust, you also start attracting different experiences. People who used to test your boundaries fall away, and opportunities that require self-betrayal don't feel appealing anymore. You stop chasing things that drain you because your new standard is peace. That's the natural evolution of confidence. It starts inside, but eventually it rearranges your whole outer world. And that's what leads us to living from genuine confidence, the kind that doesn't just feel good, but guides how you move. And living from genuine confidence feels different. It's not a rush of adrenaline, it's steady beneath the surface. It's that quiet awareness that says, I'm safe in myself right now. It changes how you walk into rooms. You stop scanning for approval. You stop shrinking when someone else shines. You start to understand that you can take up space without taking from anyone else. That's what soft confidence looks like in real life. It's not loud, it's intentional. And for me, the first time I felt that shift was subtle. I was sitting in a supervision meeting, and that's a space that used to make me nervous because everyone in the room seemed more experienced. Usually, I would over-prepare. I'd run through every possible question they may ask just so I wouldn't look unprepared. But that day, I showed up, breathed, and let myself be present. When a question came that I didn't know the answer to, I said, I'm not sure yet, but I'll look into it. No shame, no fake confidence, no over-explaining. Just honesty. And I remember thinking, this is what real confidence feels like. Peace instead of panic. Genuine confidence removes the need for performance. You don't have to pretend to know everything. You just need to trust that you can learn. You don't have to fight to be heard. Your calm presence will speak for you. You don't have to prove your value. Your integrity already carries it. Confidence that's rooted in peace doesn't fluctuate every time someone misunderstands you. It's consistent, it's grounded, it's protective. The more you live from that space, the more you realize how much energy you used to waste on proving yourself. You start saying no with ease. You stop explaining your boundaries like they're negotiable. You stop chasing people who confuse inconsistency with mystery. Confidence makes you selective with your peace. You stop entertaining chaos because it no longer feels familiar. I remember when I used to mistake chaos for passion. If something didn't make my heart race, I thought it meant I didn't care enough. Now I know that peace can feel boring at first, especially if you've been used to walking on eggshells. But boring peace is still peace. And once your nervous system adjusts to it, you'll never crave the chaos again. That's when you know you've outgrown survival mode. Your confidence becomes your calm, not your performance. Confidence also changes your relationships. When you're grounded in self-trust, you stop settling for connections that make you question your worth. You start communicating with clarity instead of control. You start loving from freedom instead of fear. The people who are meant for you won't be intimidated by your boundaries. They'll respect them because they built their own. And the ones who aren't ready for that version of you will drift, not because you've changed for the worse, but because you finally changed for yourself. In work, genuine confidence looks like asking for what you need instead of apologizing for having needs. It looks like acknowledging your growth out loud instead of downplaying it to seem humble. It looks like taking up space in a meeting and still leaving room for others to shine. The most confident leaders I know don't command a room through fear. They hold space through calm authority. They lead with transparency. They admit mistakes. They model what it looks like to be human in positions of power. That's confidence, not the loud kind, the kind that's trustworthy. There's tenderness that comes with real confidence. You become gentle with other people's insecurities because you made peace with your own. You no longer need to tear anyone down to feel tall. You celebrate without comparison. You realize that confidence doesn't isolate you, it connects you. Because once you stop performing, you make room for authenticity in yourself and everyone around you. One of my favorite parts of this journey has been watching small acts of confidence ripple outward. Every time you speak up, someone else watches, learning that they can too. Every time you choose rest over hustle, you remind others that rest is productive. Every time you love yourself out loud, you give permission for someone else to do the same. That's the soft life at work. Healing loudly enough to remind others that gentleness can coexist with strength. And listen, you'll still have days where you question every day. Days when you feel unsure, anxious, awkward. Confidence doesn't erase those days. It just reminds you they're temporary. There's no version of you that's unworthy just because she's uncertain. Every version deserves compassion. The brave one, the scared one, the one still figuring it out. That's the secret. Confidence isn't about never falling apart. It's about trusting yourself to put the pieces back together each time. If you're listening to this and you're in a season of self-doubt, maybe life has shifted, maybe you're starting over, maybe you feel like you've lost momentum, I want you to know that confidence will meet you where you are. You don't have to chase it. You just have to start keeping small promises again. And little by little, you'll remember what it feels like to trust yourself. You'll remember that your pace is sacred. You'll remember that your power was never in perfection. It was in presence. And maybe confidence isn't something we build once. Maybe it's something we tend to, like a garden. Some days it blooms easily. Other days it needs watering, pruning, patience. But it always comes back. Confidence isn't the absence of doubt. It's the presence of self-belief despite it. It's waking up and choosing not to abandon yourself again today. You don't need to be louder. You don't need to be harder. You don't need to be flawless. You just need to be rooted. And if you take nothing else from this episode, take this. You are already becoming the version of yourself that younger you needed. You're learning to trust her voice again. You're learning that softness is strength. And that's the most beautiful confidence there is. Thank you for spending this time with me on Therapy and the Self-Life. If this episode resonated with you, share it with someone who's in the same season of rediscovery. And if you haven't already, be sure to follow the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and YouTube. You can also stay connected with me on Instagram at Therapy and the Self-Life for more self-life reflections and gentle reminders throughout the week. Until next time, keep choosing yourself, keep choosing peace, and as always, keep choosing the soft life. Talk to you soon.